Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences. Episodes discuss emotional, physical, and sexual violence. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Dark Dynasties, the podcast where we focus on different rich and powerful families who have ultimately exposed themselves to be corrupt, messed up, and, you know, very dark.
Today, we'll continue discussing the Murdaugh family and how a boat crash led to their downfall.
I'm Sid.
I'm Olivia.
And welcome to Dark Dynasties. Hello,
how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine.
So we've been talking about this Murdaugh family.
The Murdaugh murders. And if you guys are tuning in now and you haven't seen the first two episodes that we did on the Murdaughs, you can always catch up by following along on Discovery Plus. We watched the Murdaugh murders.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this is based on.
So if you want to go ahead and watch that and follow along, you can or you don't have to.
Yeah, it's a free country.
It really is.
So the last episode, we ended on this crazy 911 call.
After basically this giant boat crash caused by
Paul Murdaugh,
who was a 19-year-old heir, basically, of like a very, very powerful family.
Yeah, he's a rich kid in a family of a bunch of district attorneys who have kind of controlled the law in this small town.
They kind of are known for being able to get away with anything. In 2019, Paul crashed a boat while
intoxicated,
and one person, Mallory Beach, was thrown from the boat and died. And so he is supposed to stand trial for that. And everyone actually in the small town, in Hampton County even, was just shocked that he was even going to stand trial.
Yeah, because this family doesn't often have to, you know, have consequences in the same way other people do.
Yeah, so the fact that Paul is indicted is shocking, even though, you know, he gets to have no bond. He's drinking while he's not supposed to be.
He's doing a nice version of it.
He basically, on June 10th, is supposed to stand trial.
However, I believe it's 3 days before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, June 7th, 2021.
911 gets a call from Alec Murdaugh, Paul's father.
Paul's father, Alec.
Saying that he's found his son and his wife shot dead.
At his own property.
Near the dog kennel.
So this is a crazy turn. This is where we ended our last episode. It's where we will pick up the story this episode.
So basically, first responders arrive and Paul's body is found in the dog kennel, shot with a shotgun. And Maggie, the
Alec's
mom—
Alec's wife and Paul's mother, yeah.
—is 15 feet away, shot several times with a semi-automatic weapon.
So what's weird here is that there's two different guns used.
Right.
So were there two different shooters?
It appears to be two different shooters, but it also could be—and this is what a lot of people suspect—
Yeah.
it could be somebody trying to frame it as two different shooters.
Absolutely.
We also have to remember that, you know, when the coroner arrived, they said the time of death was just 30 minutes before the 911 call.
Which is actually a really short amount of time, usually, especially because Alec claimed that he was off the property when this happened. He was visiting his father. He was on his father's property. And then he came back and found them. He came back kind of shockingly close to when they got shot and then immediately called 911.
Yeah, so it's pretty fishy. And on top of this, you know, of course, the murder is 3 days before Paul's supposed to stand trial.
Very suspicious date.
So Alec Murdaugh becomes a person of interest.
Yeah, because obviously a spouse always becomes a person of interest. The person who finds the body is always the number one suspect. That all combined makes him an absolute person of interest.
Oh, yeah. He's like a double person of interest.
And this explodes all over the news
sure.
the next morning.
Yeah, the news starts going crazy with theories of, like, why were Paul and Maggie targeted? There's like a theory that it's a criminal that the Murdaughs
right,
put away.
Because the Murdaughs were district attorneys for so long that like if someone got out of jail and was
they're back
and revenge.
They're here for revenge that and they're going to kill the Murdaugh family. Another theory is that Maggie Murdaugh wasn't living at their home and was meeting with a divorce attorney.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so if, you know, Maggie Murdaugh wasn't happy in the marriage, do you think Alec Murdaugh was angry she was trying to get away?
Yeah. Alec Murdaugh's attorneys also denied this and insisted that they were totally happy, but also at the same time, I don't know how much of a track record this guy has about being trustable in what he says.
Yeah, I guess it was a huge rumor around town that everyone was like, no, Maggie Murdaugh hasn't been living on the property.
Yeah.
Maggie Murdaugh has been seeing a divorce attorney. People have been seeing this happen, so, you know, it's likely that something's going on.
So now there are three deaths involved in this family, Paul, Maggie, and Mallory.
Yes.
That are all being investigated.
Yes. Paul was responsible for
Mallory's
death.
Was
responsible for driving the boat when Mallory disappeared and then died. And now we have these two mysterious deaths on the property.
Yeah, double homicide.
So, you know, the investigation starts. People are, you know, looking into this.
Yeah. SLED, which is the State Law Enforcement Division, is looking into, you know, Paul and Maggie's murders.
And this causes them to, 2 weeks after the investigation, to reopen a 2015 case where a 19-year-old boy named Stephen Smith was found dead on the side of the road.
And yeah, and the crazy thing about this is I think that the cops haven't even released what it is that they found that made them look into the Stephen Smith case.
This is an open investigation.
Yeah, this is still going on.
So we don't know what the thing was that cops found that made them go, we should reopen this other case from 2015.
Yeah.
But they found something that made them go, like, this is now important to open for this investigation as well.
Which is good because the Stephen Smith case is absolutely crazy and deserves to be looked into more than it was.
Absolutely.
So we can get into that.
Yeah, let's talk about the Stephen Smith case because this is pretty crazy.
So Stephen Smith is, he was from Hampton, South Carolina.
Yeah, he was in nursing school. He wanted to be a doctor.
He was 19.
And he was openly gay in the South, which, you know, obviously is probably pretty difficult.
Yeah, everyone who knew him was, said that he was like just an absolute individual and was just like a really confident, wonderful person that just everybody around him loved, except for, I assume, all the homophobic people around
him.
Sure.
Yeah, that would probably be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, he you know, is described in the docuseries as just, like, this really, like, wonderful person who people loved, who people really respected and—
Yeah, that were close to him, but then, you know, that the people of South Carolina in general—
were harassing him and mistreating him.
Yeah.
So one night at 4 a.m., a man is driving down the road and
going to work,
and he sees a body and he calls the cops.
Right.
Law enforcement finds that the body is Stephen in the middle of the road, and he's found with like a massive wound on his head. His shoes and his clothing are totally intact.
So it's really interesting when you see someone, I think usually in a crime of a hit and run, if someone is really hit with a car— their shoes are not going to be on. Their shoes usually fly off. Their clothing is usually ripped and torn. It's different forensic evidence than a classic hit and run.
Yeah. When the coroner got there, it's immediately ruled a homicide.
Yeah. The coroner said, this it looks like
he got was shot in the head. And mysteriously,
later on, it was changed, which I've never actually really heard of that. I've never heard of somebody saying it's very clearly this and then later on them changing it to something
just
that's really, really not clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sketchy thing to do. It sounds like they're trying to cover something up.
So it's ruled a homicide, and then later on the cops change it to a hit and run.
A regular hit and run.
So there's a cop named Michael Duncan.
Yeah.
And he's saying this doesn't add up.
Yeah, he's as confused as we currently are.
And he is openly being like, this is not a hit and run.
This doesn't look like a hit and run. This looks like a homicide.
Inspecting the body, he's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he inspects the body and goes like, there is no way this was a regular hit and run. This was a homicide.
There are no car parts anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, if there would be car parts or debris or something.
Yep.
There's no sign of any, like, car accident, anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and Stephen's car actually was 3 miles away on the side of the road out of gas, and his wallet was in his car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's confusing. It doesn't all add up.
So then Stephen's father, you know, mm-hmm. Stephen being the victim in this case.
Right.
Stephen's father gets a call from Randy Murdaugh.
Oh, and that is Alec Murdaugh's brother, yes?
Yeah. And Randy asks if Stephen needs representation.
Right.
And at first, yeah. This family is like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe such a big shot lawyer
right.
would contact us and offer to help us.
Yeah,
in this.
And this is in 2015, which is way before, you know, it's way before the boat crash. It's way before anything happened that painted the Murdaughs in anything but a positive light.
Yeah. And so Stephen's family is honored. And, you know, the Murdaughs are a big deal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Duncan would be getting calls. Duncan, the police
yeah.
officer. Would be getting calls when he was on the Murdaugh's property.
Yeah, so when he was driving around trying to just sort of like investigate and look around, anytime he was on the Murdaugh turf, he would get a call of someone being like, hey, do you need anything? I see that you're here. What are you looking for? Can we help you?
It was clearly threatening.
Yeah.
You know, there's something off there. So a week into the investigation, Duncan, our the police officer is questioning this, talks to Stephen's boyfriend, who was the last person to see him that night.
Right.
And Stephen apparently was calling his boyfriend saying, I'm being followed. Someone is harassing me.
He's being harassed by some guys in a pickup truck.
And the boyfriend is sure it's murder.
Right. What gets even crazier is, you know, Duncan starts interviewing all of Stephen's friends, and they all have the same answer. It's this weird kind of small town rumor mill thing again, where it's like, you know, you can't prove it, but everyone is giving the same very specific answer that the person who did it was Buster Murdaugh.
And maybe even Paul, his brother, too.
Absolutely. And when we say Buster Murdaugh, just to be clear, we are not referring to Uncle Buster Murdaugh. We're referring to Paul's older brother, Buster.
Yeah, so Alec Murdaugh's two sons,
yes.
Buster and Paul.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So the rumor going around
goes like this.
Is that the brothers were going for a joyride and they passed Stephen and they turned around and drove by him, and Paul hit him with a baseball bat in the head. And based on, you know, the stuff we've heard about Paul in the past, of him getting really angry and violent when he's drunk.
It does not sound like
it. It doesn't not add up,
no.
Right? Like, there's a concern to be had.
It's not unbelievable. The part that is a little bit crazier to hear, which is also just such a layer on it, is that apparently there were a lot of rumors that Buster and Steven maybe sort of had some sort of a thing in high school,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, if you are in a homophobic part of the country and you have some weird toxic masculinity energy you're taking out on someone that you used to be attracted to, it would make sense to target a person, you know, I mean, not like it would make sense, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it adds up.
It adds up.
Yeah, basically talk of maybe there being some sort of you know, hidden relationship.
And this is just speculation
right.
and rumors, and there's no evidence for this, but it is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, or flirtation or something.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying that there's a chance that maybe Buster didn't want to be associated with that if he was trying to cover it up.
Right.
And so basically the case dries up.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. They just call it a hit and run.
Yep.
They say, no, the Murdaughs were no part of this.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, it completely closes until Paul and Maggie are murdered, in which case it actually gets opened back up.
Yeah, and we're not sure what opens it back up.
No, they haven't told us.
We're still waiting.
Yeah, they're still looking through it, so that is really crazy.
So you think, okay, this was the only other thing to come out,
mm-hmm.
You know, during this investigation. There's no other things, but there's another murder. So let's talk about this person, okay?
All right.
This is a woman named Gloria Satterfield. Gloria Satterfield was the Murdaugh housekeeper who basically raised the kids.
She worked for them for 20 years. She
yeah.
was their housekeeper. She cooked for them. She cleaned for them. She raised the kids.
Yeah, and she's got
a single mother. They did not pay her. She did not have – I mean, they didn't pay her well.
Yeah. I'm sure they paid her, but maybe not a good livable wage.
They did not give her vacation days or sick days.
Yeah. If you watch the Murdaugh Murders, you'll see her friends are interviewed and they talk about her in a very loving way.
Yeah.
She seems like she was a really selfless person.
Mm-hmm.
And she really loved those boys like her own, even though they had a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she has told her friends about things that the kids used to do when they were younger that were, like, not okay. You know, again, like we talked about earlier, Paul hurting animals and things like that that were concerning.
Yep, absolutely.
Gloria Satterfield apparently fell down the stairs.
So in February 2018, 911 gets a call from Maggie Murdaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie says, our housekeeper fell down the stairs. She's bleeding.
And Maggie just discovered her there.
Yes.
And Paul was there as well. 911 is asking, like, is she breathing? Is she okay? What's going on? They're not really giving straightforward answers. You can listen to the 911 tape.
The 911 tape is shockingly casual. It's kind of
mm-hmm.
creepy to listen to. It's very straightforward and cold. Like, there's not a lot of feeling.
At some point, Maggie hands the phone to Paul.
Yeah.
And Paul is talking to the 911 operator. And he asks the 911 operator to stop asking him questions.
Yeah, he's like, can you stop asking us questions? And the 911 operator's like, no, this is literally my job and we're still sending people. It doesn't slow it down.
Yeah, the 911 operator takes it in the same way probably most people would take it, of like, oh, this person is worried and they want us to hurry up.
Yeah.
But we are going as fast as we can and, you know, we're here for you.
Yeah.
But his delivery is much colder than that. And it kind of suggests that maybe he doesn't care so much.
No, he just sounds like he's rushing through the process and is, like, irritated with them.
Yeah. So Gloria goes to the hospital for 3 weeks.
And this is just the most fucked up part, is that she can't talk.
No. So she has swelling in her brain. She has subdermal hematoma. She can't tell anyone what happened. But she's, like, her friend thinks that she tried to tell a friend, but, like, wasn't able to.
Yeah.
But while she's in the hospital for 3 weeks—
And had worked for this family for 20 years.
Alec Murdaugh does not visit her once.
Period. No one visits her except for Maggie visits her one time.
Yeah, Maggie Murdaugh visits her one time after she has known this woman who has raised her children for 20 years.
Yeah. And there was speculation in the Murdaugh Murders docuseries
mm-hmm.
that potentially Gloria had found Paul's drugs
mm-hmm.
and had threatened to show them to someone or show them to the mother. There's some speculation around that, and that potentially that could have happened the day she fell down the stairs.
And that essentially what that is suggesting
yes.
in this case is yeah. that allegedly.
Allegedly.
At the funeral.
This is where it gets super weird.
Yeah. At the funeral, Maggie didn't talk to Gloria's best friend. And Alec Murdaugh.
So, yeah. So Gloria has two sons that she raised as a single mother, mm-hmm. you know, and her two sons are at the funeral. Alec comes up to them and says, hey, let me make this right. This is my fault. Which is, for a second, they're hearing that. You're like, oh, wow. Is he actually going to take accountability for something for real?
But then he ends that statement with saying, my dogs did this.
Okay. Now let's back up.
Let's just dive into that for a second.
The 911 call is recorded. You can hear it.
You can hear it.
We've heard it.
There are
no dogs. There's not a single dog.
You don't hear a dog barking.
You don't hear anyone referencing a dog. You don't hear any. And also, apparently, the dogs were like big dogs that were like rowdy. They weren't like quiet, sleepy dogs that might have just been there during the call. Like they were.
Yeah.
They if his dogs, quote unquote, did this.
Yeah. It would have been mentioned earlier.
Yeah, dogs would have been mentioned in some way, shape, or form, maybe, or heard.
So Alec says, after pinning this on his dogs, mm-hmm. which, first of all, not cool.
Yeah.
Second of all, Alec says, I'm going to sue my own estate and get you boys some money.
So
what?
So Alec literally says, I will represent
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
and we will sue me.
Yeah. So this makes no sense.
This is not a thing a lawyer can do.
No. If you were thinking like, oh, yeah, that must happen all the time.
No,
it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
That's not a thing.
And
so
there's a direct conflict of interest here.
Yeah, exactly. It is literally not a thing.
So, you know, obviously, you know, Alec is like, I have a great attorney who can help represent
yeah.
you in a lawsuit against my estate. I'll work with him.
Yeah.
Which, again— doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But they trust this guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, he was a family friend that he came to them saying, you know, I knew your mom forever. I can take care of you guys. That's their whole thing. They do that to people.
Yeah. And these two boys are, you know, their mom has worked with this person
mm-hmm.
for 20 years. Of course you would think this person would have your best interest in mm-hmm. mind.
Especially if they're telling you to your face that they do.
So the boys take a back seat and, you know, they're told to wait for settlement money
yeah.
to come through.
Just wait and, you know, and they basically sign everything to a guy who comes on to be their quote-unquote representative for Gloria's estate.
So, yeah.
Taking themselves out of the process, basically.
Yes. So the someone else is coming in. There's, like, transactions being made that, like, the boys are not aware of. Like, this is just kind of—
So basically, I guess the moral of the story is if anyone ever says, hey, let me help you by suing myself,
yeah.
just don't even listen to them.
No.
We're going to get into the rest of the story in a second, but we do have a quick
oh,
word
yeah.
from our sponsors.
Sorry, guys. We never have sponsors, but this one we do.
Okay.
Sorry. This podcast is sponsored by Shady Conman and Associates.
Do you need to sue your employer for exposing you to toxic chemicals?
Do you need to sue your ex-spouse for custody?
Don't. Sue us instead.
Here at Shady Conman & Associates, it doesn't matter what you sue us for. Just let us sue us for you.
Our process involves listening to you about your case, helping you sign over all your worldly possessions and estate to us, and then you going home and never making contact with us ever again.
Don't believe us? Here are some real testimonials from satisfied customers.
Norma L. from Beaufort says, "They literally took my sedan and won't call me back."
Gary F. from Aiken says, "I don't think this is legal, but I also don't know what they're trying to do."
Geraldine R. from Charleston says, "Please call me back. I am just trying to get a hold of you. There is no contact number. You owe me $300,000.
Shay D. Conman & Associates. With us, you're like family. And families share their money. Give us your money.
That was a word from our sponsors, guys.
Yeah, really crazy slogan.
That's an interesting slogan. It sort of sounds like they kind of started with the Olive Garden slogan mm-hmm. and then just kind of like mm-hmm. ran out of time.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely need a punch-up writer on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, completely separate from that.
Completely separate. And this has nothing to do with that.
No.
So Alec Murdaugh offers to sue himself for the boys, and it works. But we don't find out what happens to the money. The boys are waiting for this settlement money.
Every time they call, they're just told, oh, wait, it's still being, it's still coming through. Just wait. They wait and wait and wait. And they literally find out about a $505,000 settlement from reading about it in a newspaper.
Because later on, a reporter discovers the court records. So this is put in a newspaper article, and they read it in fine print, and they're like, wait a second.
We never got this money. Yeah.
So they found out about it from reading an article in a newspaper, and now, at this point—
They're like, what do we do?
No one knows where $500,000 is.
No. And actually, it's even more money than that, which is even crazier, which we're going to get into so much next time.
There is so much weird conning going on, I can't even tell you.
The thing that shocks me is— how much crazier it gets in just even the next episode.
Yeah.
It is absolutely crazy.
Stick around. You're going to want to hear about this. We're getting into some possible hitmen situations.
We're getting into all kinds of money laundering situations.
I've been Sid.
I've been Olivia.
Thank you for listening to Dark Dynasties.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.